This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, July 20th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
the brewing trade war moves into currency markets.
The dollar weakens after President Trump criticizes Fed policy.
China's currency follows suit as the central bank once again weakens its fixing.
Commodities rebound from yesterday's losses.
And stocks in Asia surge.
President Trump invites Vladimir Putin to the White House. And 49 Manhattan buildings evacuated from that steam pipe explosion. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm Rob Buschke, ahead in sports. It's cut day at the Open Championship. The Stars and Stripes doing well thus far. And the Yankees and Mets throw down in the Subway Series.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
The dollar is weakening this morning. European equities are showing modest gains while U.S. futures are little change, but NASDAQ futures are jumping. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are a little changed this morning. Dow futures down 17. NASDAQ futures up about almost 30. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. CAC in Paris up less than 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.25%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.3%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong up almost 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.85%. Yield on the 2-year 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.4%, up 99 cents to $70.45 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.70 to $12.25.70 an ounce. The euro $1.1655 and the yen 112.43. Bob.
The brewing trade war is moving into currency markets. The dollar is weaker since President Trump's criticism of Federal Reserve policy. Late yesterday, the president said he doesn't like the central bank raising interest rates. Lucy McDonald is chief investment officer for global equities at Allianz Global Investors.
The timing of it, I would suggest, is to do with the concerns about currency. If there is a feeling that the trade tensions are moving into, you know, a currency war, then he would definitely want to be involved in that war. So that, from the reading of the timing of it, would look to be the case.
The Fed has raised rates 5 times since President Trump took office, and the Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index has gained about 6% since February.
Trading in Asia today began with China's yuan slumping yet again after the country's central bank weakened its fixing by the most in more than 2 years. Leland Miller is CEO of China Beige Book International.
Well, it's definitely trade war related, but China's not devaluing the currency. They're just not stepping up to prop it up. 6-7 may worry markets, but it's not the place where the PBOC wants to step in to stop this. So I think the two critical numbers, 1-6-9, above 6-9 is where President Trump inherited the yuan, and if it gets any weaker than that, then it means that the yuan has weakened on his watch. That's not a good symbol. It's something that the Chinese would really be prodding and poking President Trump if they do that.
The Chinese currency is off its lowest levels of the day now. The offshore yuan is at 6.7947. The Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index is at 1184.78.
So yesterday, trade worries sent metal prices sharply lower. This morning, they're reversing some of those losses. We get details from Bloomberg Executive Editor for Commodities, Stuart Wallace.
Today we're getting a little bit of a rebound. It seems to be following the yuan. Now, the technicals right now across many of the commodities are flashing oversold, which should imply some sort of bounce. On the other hand, if you look at what's going on in the background, enormous uncertainty there about the impact of the trade wars. The evidence to date is that it's going to be quite ugly.
Metals have sold off over the past 6 weeks on concerns the escalating trade conflict could dent demand for raw materials.
Equities in China posted strong gains today, with the Shanghai Composite Index recording its biggest gain in a week. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from our Sydney bureau.
The CSI 300 finished Friday's session higher by almost 2%, posting its first gain of the week after earlier being in the red as the PBOC weakened the daily yuan fix the most since June 2016. But traders told Bloomberg a big Chinese bank was seen offering to sell the dollar when the yuan reached 6.81 earlier in the day, and that prompted a turnaround in Hong Kong and Chinese shares. Banking stocks led the gains on expectations that regulators will loosen rules on the asset management industry. In Sydney, I'm Juliette Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Juliette. Here in the U.S., auto groups and industry workers condemned the idea of raising tariffs on cars at a public hearing in Washington yesterday. John Bozzella, president and CEO of the Association of Global Automakers, spoke to Bloomberg following his testimony at the hearing.
There is absolutely no case for high tariffs on auto imports and auto parts imports. They're not a national security threat. In fact, just the contrary. Those imports support a competitive, dynamic industry that leads to investment and innovation.
The Commerce Department is probing whether imports of passenger vehicles threaten national security. It's received nearly 2,300 written submissions commenting on the investigation, only three of which support tariffs.
In Italy, stocks and bonds are lower amid concern that the country's finance minister may be forced to step down. Short-end bonds lead declines after an Italian newspaper reports the country's populist leaders are uniting against finance minister Giovanni Tria. Geraldine Sundstrom is managing director at PIMCO.
He's the most market-friendly figure that has been soothing the market, saying all the right things and helping the Italian market. Of course, if his future is genuinely at risk and the replacement is not an equally market-friendly persona, people will start to bring forward the worries of the autumn budget negotiation, and we could have a bit of a hot summer in Italy.
Italy's Treasury is now pushing back against that report that the finance minister could resign, calling it pure invention. Italian stocks and bonds are still down, but off their lowest levels of the day.
Turning to corporate news now, shares of Microsoft are up almost 4% after earnings that topped estimates. Profit and revenue beat expectations, and Microsoft boosted projections for cloud sales in the current quarter.
Shares of Skechers down 25% in early trading. The footwear company reporting same-store sales had increased less than anticipated. That, combined with rising costs and lower-than-expected projections, are stoking fears among investors.
And shares of General Electric are up 0.33% amid heavy volume in early trading. GE scheduled to report earnings this morning. Look for those results about 25 minutes from now. This is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Bloomberg's John Tucker now with the very latest at home and around the world. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. There may be a sequel to President Trump's sit-down with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. Martin DeCaro reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The president's invited Putin to Washington this fall to continue talking about the issues they discussed alone, one-on-one in Helsinki. It's unclear if it would happen before or after the midterm elections. Trump's invite was announced not long after the U.S. Senate voted 98-0 to symbolically rebuke Trump for considering Putin's request to allow Russian investigators to interrogate American officials, including former Ambassador Michael McFaul. In Washington, I'm Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein spoke at the Aspen Security Forum in Colorado and continues the warning that the U.S. is still under cyber attack. He also defended the work of the U.S. intelligence community.
According to the intelligence community's assessment, foreign interference in the 2016 election demonstrated a significant escalation in directness, level of activity, and scope of effort compared to previous operations.
Microsoft says it's identified and stopped attempts to launch cyber attacks on three 2018 congressional candidates using a phony version of its website. The targets weren't identified. The same tactic was attempted during the 2016 Democratic convention. Microsoft added that the hacking group, possibly run by Russia's military intelligence service, GRU, was behind the attack. A deadly tourboat accident near Branson, Missouri last night. The Stone County Sheriff Doug Rader says the duck boat capsized on Table Rock Lake with about 31 people aboard.
At this time, we have 11 confirmed fatalities. Of the seven that was transported, only one of them had serious injuries. The rest of them were moderate injuries.
Five are still listed as missing. And a busy part of New York City may be shut down for at least a couple of days. A nearly century-old steam pipe ruptured yesterday morning in the Flatiron District, shooting a white plume up and raining down asbestos-contaminated debris. Hundreds of people have been displaced, buildings evacuated, a safety test are still being conducted. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Bob.
Thank you, John. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. It's where golf originated, across the pond at the 147th Open Championship. Round two underway from historic Carnoustie Golf Links in Scotland. Current check of the leaderboard finds American Kevin Kisner atop at -5, followed by another American, Ryan Moore. He's making the turn now at -4. Zach Johnson at 3 under par is on the fifth hole. Rory McIlroy on the seventh, he's 2 under. Ricky Fowler, meanwhile, will tee off at 7:10 Eastern. Hopefully better showings from Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth, and Phil Mickelson, who finished round one at even, +1 and +2, respectively. Baseball's second half begins on Friday for both local clubs. It's the Subway Series, and for Mets All-Star Jacob DeGrom, he's been the talk of trade bait of late. He hopes to stick around.
Like I said, I've really enjoyed my time here. I've said before that I would love to keep playing here. I would love to play here for my whole career. I think it's just kind of deciding what we see as the future. So it's just something that, you know, is kind of in the Mets' control, kind of out of mind.
First pitch is 7:05 from Yankee Stadium. Noah Syndergaard meets Domingo Herman. Yankees are 4.5 back of front-running Boston. They visit Detroit with David Price on the mound. One game on Thursday, the Cubs beat the Cardinals 9-6 at Wrigley Field. And news from the NFL, the Players Association has suspended its 2-month-old national anthem rules after the Dolphins announced they'll suspend players up to 4 games who violate that rule. The Jets were on record as saying they won't suspend anyone. Players can do as they please. The NFLPA is looking for more uniformity. The rule is now on hold. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Bushka. Please join us for Bloomberg Business of Sports. We'll be speaking to the founder of the winner-take-all basketball tournament called TBT, that's seen its prize money grow from $500,000 to $2 million. Former TV comedy writer John Mugar is the guest tonight at 8, tomorrow at 11 on Bloomberg Radio, or download the Apple Podcast on iTunes. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak, brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. It was another wild day in Chinese markets. The PBOC signaled no move to intervene in the yuan's decline. The currency quickly weakened but eventually recovered from the steep decline. St. Louis Fed President James Bullard speaks in Kentucky this morning. He'll be the first central bank official to make remarks since President Trump criticized Fed policy. Bullard is expected to take questions. Alarm bells about trade will ring in the ears of G20 central bankers and finance ministers in Buenos Aires this weekend. It's the first meeting of the club since President Trump imposed tariffs on the European Union and China. And Vladimir Putin is not welcome at Congress. That's according to Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who says Putin will not receive an invite to Capitol Hill, even if he receives one from the White House. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Hannah George, thank you. S&P futures are down 6 points now. Dow futures down 82. NASDAQ futures are up 9. So things are starting to decline a bit here in the futures market. The DAX in Germany also deteriorating, down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.84%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 42 cents to $69.88 a barrel. COMEX gold up about 0.1% of a $1.10 to $12.25.10 an ounce. The euro $1.1647, the yen 1.1236. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
All right, thanks, Karen. And some breaking news, according to an interview with CNBC, President Trump says He's ready to go to $500 billion on tariffs on China imports. We'll have details on the story when they become available. Meantime, President Trump intensified the uproar over his meeting with Vladimir Putin by extending an invitation for a second summit. This all comes as worries about what the two leaders discussed in Helsinki this week are still swirling. And Microsoft says it's identified and stopped attempts to launch cyber attacks on three 2018 congressional candidates using a phony version of its website. And a Missouri sheriff says at least 11 people have now been confirmed dead after a boat carrying tourists on a lake in the vacation city of Branson capsized and sank during a storm last night. Bloomberg Sports: baseball resumes as the Yanks host the Mets at the stadium. And at the British Open, Kevin Kisner is the second round leader at 5 under. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence, valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
Good morning to you. 6:20 on Wall Street, and we welcome Karen Ubelhart, senior analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Karen, good morning. I found myself second-guessing just how important General Electric's earnings are today, but blue chip or not, you've got to admit it's still an iconic stock in the minds of many investors. Others are waiting for management to get things turned around enough and cough up the return on investment they were counting on. Based on what we've seen leading up to these latest results, are those GE loyalists and diehards likely to be disappointed or soothed by the latest performance readout?
Well, it'll be interesting. Some people think that they will cut their $1.07 number. They probably should cut the number. They've only earned about 18 cents in the first quarter. And there's always a lot of noise in GE, so earnings are always interesting, but that's not really what I don't think is going to matter to the stock. They've made their big announcements, what they're going to do. They're going to sell healthcare. They're selling some other smaller things. They're just keeping a couple of handful of businesses. We'll want some more color on that, the whole restructuring. They announced it late June. We won't have a lot of incremental information. I'd say the big thing people focus on is what does cash flow look like? That also looks like a high guidance too. But you know, GE always tries to hang on.
Mm-hmm. So, they don't dare deliver any nasty surprises though. Huh?
I would think that if they were going to, they probably would have hinted at that on mm-hmm. The big call when they announced all the asset changes.
Okay. So investors would just be pleased, I think, by some relative calm at this point, mm-hmm. huh?
And I think the other thing I'd say is power is the business that's a real mess. We're now almost a year into some of the big cost cutting. Maybe we'll see some stabilization in margins there. But, you know, the big news on GE is not really what does this quarter look like.
Yeah. Investors are looking for more of an improving cash flow, less complex company,
yes,
right?
Yes. They want simplicity. They want more transparency on the numbers. It's always hard to figure out what GE's adjusted numbers are, mm-hmm. you know, so that simplicity is a good description. And also if they're making any headway on their cost reductions, which are big numbers.
Let me move you on to Honeywell. We've got earnings from Honeywell as well, excuse the pun. What are we expecting there?
You know, they usually have pretty clean quarters, and they have a pattern of beating slightly, raising slightly. I fully expect that. Aerospace is probably going to be really good. PMT, which is their chemical-related business, that's also going to be good. It's got a big energy exposure and chemical exposure, and that's rebounding as well. So they should have a good number and probably raise.
Aerospace really good. Why?
Well, commercial aerospace has been good for a while, but the incremental switch is business jets are now coming back. That's been a drag for 2 years. Traffic, you know, air traffic has been very strong, and that's what drives their parts business. And the OEM business is strong as well. You know, Boeing, Airbus, both ramping up production, which should continue for a while. But they make their money on parts. And that
I can't help but thinking as you rattle off these things that GE could have been into some of that.
Well, their aviation business is good. That's a business that makes over 20% margins. That is a good business for them. They're a leader in the big engine business. You know, it's them and Pratt & Whitney and Rolls-Royce, and they have leadership position there. So aviation will look good for GE. It's the power that's really awful. So
And our thanks to Karen Oberhardt, senior analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. And let's check S&P futures now. They are down 9 points. That is a third of 1%. This is after that news on President Trump that John Tucker was telling you about. Dow futures down 123 points. That is 0.5%. NASDAQ futures now lower. They have been in positive territory, now lower by 2 points. And that is a little less than 1%. 10-year Treasury prices down 2/32. The yield at 2.8453%. The 2-year yield at 2.5952%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper. Congress has passed the most sweeping tax law changes since 1986. Is your company ready? Check out the latest analysis and news from Eisner Amper at eisneramper.com/tax change.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are heading lower after President Trump said he's ready to levy tariffs on as much as $500 billion worth of Chinese imports. Mr. Trump made the remarks in a pre-taped interview with CNBC this morning. European equity indexes are also falling following those remarks.
The dollar is also weakening after President Trump criticized Federal Reserve policy. The president said yesterday that he doesn't like the central bank raising interest rates.
Meanwhile, the yuan is recovering from a steep decline amid speculation officials were seeking to stem the drop. At the same time, stocks in China surged after a report said regulators will loosen rules on the asset management industry.
Shares of Microsoft are up 3% in early trading after the company reported earnings that topped estimates. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Sales and profit got a boost from customers signing up for more internet-based storage, processing, and office productivity software. Surveys of customer chief information officers show an increase in companies signing up for or planning to use Microsoft's cloud products. Revenue from cloud computing rose 89% in the quarter. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. The other shoe is dropping for Skechers shareholders. The footwear company has lost a quarter of its value this morning amid concerns over slowing growth, rising costs, and lower than expected projections.
And we're watching GE earnings crossing the Bloomberg right now. Second quarter adjusted profit beating analyst estimates. Revenue also beat. Shares are up 0.8%, now about 1% in early trading. Honeywell now crossing the Bloomberg. Second quarter adjusted profit also beating analyst estimates. It boosted its forecast for the year. Bob.
And Italian bonds and stocks are lower following a report that Finance Minister Giovanni Tria may be forced to step down. The Italian Treasury is now pushing back against that report, though, calling it, quote, pure invention.
And futures this morning are moving lower, with S&P futures down 11 points, Dow futures down 132 now, and NASDAQ futures down 10. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%, CAC in Paris down 1%, and the FTSE 100 is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.84%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 21 cents to $69.67 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $12.2390 an ounce. The euro, $1.1649. The yen, 112.37. And General Electric is up 1.6% in early trading. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. An invitation to the White House keeps Vladimir Putin at the top of the headlines. Bloomberg's John Tucker here now with that and more. Good morning.
And good morning, Bob. President Trump has invited Vladimir Putin to the White House for a second summit. The invitation comes as worries about what the two leaders discussed in Helsinki this week are still rising. Details of what the leaders talked about in a one-on-one session that lasted for more than 2 hours have been trickling from Moscow, while White House efforts to clarify Mr. Trump's stance have been slow, vague, and at times conflicting. The Trump administration is also starting to learn that dealing with Vladimir Putin is more tricky than it might seem. That story from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
The report is that during the private meeting in Helsinki, Mr. Putin brought up a plan that might help resolve the conflict in the Ukraine. Bloomberg's Margaret Talev says apparently it's been leaked.
It came through a couple of officials in terms of something that Putin said behind closed doors at a meeting with diplomats. So, yes, that means the Russians wanted the news to get out. And the White House is now has a new situation where there's news that dribbled out of the summit that Russia has driven the narrative on. And the White House is unable or unprepared or unwilling to kind of set the record straight and say, where do we go from here?
Margaret says Mr. Trump had asked that the plan not be made public while he got advice and thought about it. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
In a resolution adopted 98-0 on Thursday, the Republican-controlled Senate called on the U.S. to refuse to make any officials available for interrogation by Putin's government. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein says the U.S. Justice Department is considering ways to alert the public to foreign efforts to influence Americans and U.S. elections as the threat from adversaries such as Russia continues to grow. At least 11 people, including children, died after a boat carrying tourists on a lake in Branson, Missouri, capsized and sank last night. Doug Rader is the Stone County Sheriff.
We think at this time that we have probably around 5 people still missing.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he's directed the Department of Public Service to conduct a full investigation into the cause of the steam pipe explosion in Manhattan yesterday. The morning explosion in the Flatiron District caused the evacuation of 49 buildings and spewed asbestos over the area. Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Thank God this happened so early in the morning that there were many fewer people present than would normally be.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Bob.
Thank you, John. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Golf's third of four majors is off and running from Carnoustie Golf Links in Scotland. It's the 147th Open Championship. Current check of the leaderboard finds American Kevin Kistner at -5 has the lead by his lonesome. He'll tee off at 7:53 Eastern. Rory McIlroy and Zach Johnson, one stroke back. They're -2 today. Both are on the back nine. Adam Scott is even on the 11th. In trouble for Tiger Woods, +2 today, +2 overall. He's just on the fourth hole. Weather usually more of a factor in this tournament than any other major, and for Kistner, he's staying the course and focusing more on the greens.
I came here Monday and worked really hard on my speed, which is always the hardest thing for us to get accustomed to here, and I felt like the greens were not as slow as we've had in the past because the wind hadn't been up yet, so the transition wasn't as big a deal, and the ball started coming off online, and when I'm doing that, I feel like I can hold them all.
Thursday was hot, rain expected on Friday. Baseball second half gets underway tonight with the Subway Series from Yankee Stadium. Domingo Herman hosts Noah Syndergaard. Yankees trying to keep up with Boston, who takes their 4.5 game lead to Detroit, where David Price battles his former club. The NFL's 2-month-old national anthem policy is on hold. The league and players' union issued a joint statement saying the two sides are talking things out. This move comes hours after a report saying Miami Dolphins players who protest on the field during the anthem could be suspended for up to 4 games. And move over, Tom Brady. Eagles QB Nick Foles is the top-selling jersey last quarter, followed by Brady, Carson Wentz, and Giants rookie Saquon Barkley. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Bushka, thanks very much. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
The European Commission on Wednesday fined Google a record $5 billion for unfair business practices. The commission won some praise for standing up to big tech. But this decision is misguided, harmful to consumers, and almost entirely beside the point. Start with the alleged offenses. Google licenses its Android software to phone makers for free. If they want to offer its app store, they must also install a suite of the company's other products. Europe's regulators say this denies Google's rivals a chance to innovate and compete on the merits. But Google is not unduly inhibiting competition. Because Android is free and open source, it has expanded the range of choices otherwise available to consumers. In imposing an arbitrary penalty, the European Commission threatens to harm consumers, impede innovation, make life difficult for developers, and undermine the security and usability of applications. If it's solving any problems along the way, it has yet to explain how. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Looks like President Trump will get more border wall money. House lawmakers have added more to the fiscal 2019 spending bill. More from Nancy Lyons in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The initial request from the White House was $1.6 billion.
After that request, President Donald Trump himself said sort of informally to appropriators, no, actually, I want $5 billion. Now, the Senate appropriators stuck with the $1.6 billion, and the House found room for the $5 billion.
Bloomberg government's Jack Fitzpatrick.
It's a very negative response from Democrats who say that this is a waste of money and that the same bill shortchanged the Coast Guard and could have funded them a lot more if they hadn't included so much money so far in this bill on the border wall.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. 6:39 on Wall Street. Now your Bloomberg Green business report. Think of Nordic weather and cold probably comes to mind.
Well, way up north where the air gets cold.
Maybe the Beach Boys will put you in a more appropriate mood because a heat wave is gripping northern Europe, forcing Sweden to seek help from Italy and France to combat wildfires, posing a risk to the Nordic forest industry and grain crops, and sending power prices skyrocketing. Even in the home of Santa, Finnish Lapland, a new heat record was reached this week, topping 33 degrees Celsius. That's 92 Fahrenheit.
No one.
It gives whole new meaning to the phrase run, run, reindeer. In Sweden, firefighters are battling as many as 35 forest fires across the country, three times as many as in July last year, and Finland's grain harvest is forecast to fall by as much as 30% from last year amid a drought that began in early May. One agriculture expert says some farms will lose their entire crops. Dear Santa, please bring cooler weather. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures down 8 points now. Coming up, Bloomberg Morning Call, brought to you by Columbia Bank, with 48 locations across New Jersey. You're never far from their wide range of banking solutions. From personal to business banking to mobile and online, you can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news, 24 hours a day, at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. And futures this morning, S&P futures, are lower. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Dow and S&P futures are under pressure after Trump said in a pre-recorded CNBC interview that he is ready to go to $500 billion on Chinese import tariffs. Dow futures down 100 points, S&P's dropped 7, and NASDAQ futures pair the gains to up 5. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.85%. Shanghai rose 2% overnight. European markets are trading lower, led by 1% losses in Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, St. Louis Fed's Bullard speaks at 8:20. After the bell last night, Microsoft beat estimates. Shares are up 3.2% in the pre-market. And Intuitive Surgical beat the highest analyst estimates. Regarding earnings this morning, General Electric and Honeywell beat. State Street Q2 net interest margin also beat the highest estimates. And look for Schlumberger to report around 7 a.m. Wrapping things up, Philip Morris was downgraded to market perform at Cowen. PSE&G downgraded to neutral at Goldman Sachs. And Skechers downgraded to market perform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First American News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news of your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. Vladimir Putin isn't welcome at Congress, according to Mitch McConnell, even if he has an invite to the White House for a second summit meeting later this year with President Trump. Microsoft says it identified and stopped attempts to launch cyber attacks on three 2018 congressional candidates using a phony version of its website. Microsoft added that a hacking group, possibly run by Russian military intelligence service GRU, was behind the attack. And at least 11 people were killed last night when a duck boat carrying tourists capsized in a lake near Branson, Missouri. Stormy weather was believed to be the cause of the accident. Sports baseball resumes as the Yankees host the Mets at the stadium. And at the British Open, American Kevin Kisner is the second-round leader at 5-under. He tees off in a little less than an hour. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg Bob.
John, thank you. Now, 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. The agenda in our nation's capital includes a quiet day for President Trump. He receives an intelligence briefing this morning, then heads to Bedminster, New Jersey this afternoon. But he's starting the day off with a bang, firing another shot in the rhetoric over trade with China. We've been telling you this breaking news this morning in an interview with CNBC's Joe Kernan, the president saying he's ready to put tariffs on all $500 billion of Chinese goods imported to the U.S.
I raised 50, and they matched us. I said, you don't match us. You can't match us, because otherwise we're always going to be behind
would
the eight
ball. Would you ever get to 500, though?
I'm ready to go to 500.
With the midterms on the horizon, what if the stock market were to go
down? If it does, it does. Look, I'm not doing this for
20%?
Politics. I'm doing this to do the right thing for our country. We have been ripped off by China for a long time.
U.S. futures have moved lower following those remarks. Let's bring in Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter for some reaction to this latest word on trade from the president. And Kathleen, there's been some inkling that this wasn't over, but based on that $500 billion number, roughly how far are we along in this process?
Well, basically, what happened this morning is Trump essentially suggested that he was willing to go all in terms of putting tariffs on Chinese goods. The $500 billion number is significant because it's roughly the value of the Chinese goods imported into the U.S. last year. So far, we already knew about the $34 billion in tariffs tariffs on Chinese goods that had been imposed earlier this month. There was another $16 billion to follow that soon. The administration had also released a list of tariffs on an additional $200 billion, which would get us to about $250 billion or halfway there. And now this morning, Trump's suggesting that he's willing to go the whole way and essentially impose tariffs on goods in the value of which is basically all of what the U.S. imported from China last year.
Okay, we will, of course, be following this story as it develops, and I'm sure it will throughout the day. Let's turn now to the controversy over the president's remarks at Monday's summit with Russia's President Vladimir Putin. They've been front and center on the political stage, and now the fire is being flamed by word of an invite for Putin to visit the White House. Now, President Trump's own National Intelligence Director, Dan Coats, was caught off guard when word of the new summit invitation reached the hall where the Aspen Security Forum was underway in Colorado. Coats was being questioned by NBC's Andrea Mitchell, who you might say dropped the news on him.
We have some breaking news. The White House has announced on Twitter that Vladimir Putin is coming to the White House in the fall.
Say that again.
Vladimir Putin coming
to the... Did I hear you? Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be special.
Okay, let's get more on this latest development again with Kathleen Hunter. And Kathleen, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't this normally be something you'd want to run past your National Intelligence Director?
Absolutely. And I would say, I guess, that nothing about this week or really even this administration has been normal in terms of traditional Washington terms. But certainly it's quite stunning to hear Dan Coats' reaction to having this news sort of laid on him by a member of the press who read it on Twitter. To an extent, it reminds me, it's a bit reminiscent of when Jim Comey found out that he was fired in the middle of a speech out on the West Coast because it was being reported on cable news.
And then the Secretary of State. I mean, the list goes on, but he's still working. Mr. Coats is still working as National Intelligence Director.
That's right. And so it's been a bit of a rough week for Dan Coats. He also, in Trump's remarks in Helsinki on Monday, basically indicated that he kind of singled out Dan Coats by name and said, you know, indicated initially at least that he wasn't sure whether or not he believed Dan Coats' assessments more than he believed what Putin was saying. He since walked that back a bit, but that was kind of his initial assessment. So it's been a bit of a tough week for Dan Coats.
Yeah, and Dan Coats also did a bit of cleanup after that initial news conference with Trump and Putin when he issued a statement of his own on whether the Russians are still trying to interfere in these elections.
Yeah, and essentially, Coates had said just as recently as last week and reiterated this week that, you know, kind of the verbiage used last week is that the red lights are blinking, that we have some indications that the Russians are looking to meddle in the 2018 midterms that are coming up in just over 3 months. And when Trump was asked about that earlier this week, he also indicated that he didn't believe that, which the White House press secretary then walked that back and said he was talking about something else. So there's a lot of confusion out there about what Trump's position is and, you know, the extent to which he's on the same page as the intelligence community generally and Coates specifically.
Okay, let's focus on this Trump-Putin 2.0 meeting, if you will. Do we know what the purpose is, what they're going to be talking about the second time around?
Well, Trump has really talked about the trying to kind of claim a win out of the idea of just sitting down, that just sitting down is a deliverable in and of itself, that it's a good thing, that it makes war less likely to have conversation and open dialogue between the world's two biggest nuclear powers. That's debatable. Not everyone would agree with that. But that seems to be what he's going for here, is saying, like, look, not only did I sit down with Putin, but I've now invited him to come to Washington. I'm going to sit down with him again, and we're going to continue to make progress, whatever that looks like.
And we're running out of time here. Just a few seconds. Those remarks on the Federal Reserve raising rates, any indication they might be doing cleanup today?
Well, it was certainly highly unusual. It's not something we would see, and I would definitely expect that the White House would probably try to kind of downplay the significance of those remarks as well.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hutter, thank you very much. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Now 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. This year's federal budget deficit is projected to be $793 billion, which is more than $100 billion higher than last year. Spending is increasing while tax cuts have reduced the growth of revenues. In 2017, President Trump suggested that higher deficits would stimulate the economy. But there's reason to doubt that they're having this effect. The more the economy heats up, the more the Federal Reserve is comfortable with and eager for higher interest rates. So we should expect monetary policy to offset much of the effect of changes to the deficit. Monetary policy has this offsetting effect, even if the Fed doesn't intend it. So long as the Fed reacts in roughly consistent ways to trends in unemployment, inflation, and other economic variables, changes in deficits can't have large effects on the size of the economy. The higher deficit's giving us, among other things, a larger military and retirement benefits for an expanding number of retirees. It's not giving us a significantly bigger economy. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. We continue to watch shares of General Electric. They're now up 1%. They were up more than 2% earlier in the morning. It did top Wall Street's earnings expectations for the second straight quarter, offering investors a measure of relief after a wrenching share collapse. Strong demand for aviation and healthcare equipment boosted quarterly results, and the steady performance bolsters GE's efforts to find a bottom to one of the deepest slides in its 126-year history. Baker Hughes, a GE company and the world's third biggest oil services provider, is expanding abroad after posting weaker-than-expected second-quarter results. Futures this morning, S&P futures are down 6 points, and Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.